Amen. And as we're turning there, probably 2 weeks ago, I was talking to somebody here in the congregation and telling them about a book by Anthony Flew. Anthony Flew is he was an atheist. He's the one who coined the phrase "God is dead" back in the 90s. And I told this person, whoever it is here, that I would give you a book, a copy of the book that I have today. But I can't remember who you are. So if you will see me after the service, I'll leave the book right here. Just tell me that you have it, and we'll be good. Amen. Thank you. Read from Romans chapter 10, which gives us the foundation, the basis for why we do what we do. Several have asked, well, why did you go down to Honduras? Why do we have a mission down there? Why are we going there? Why are we collecting medicines and equipment and those kinds of things? Well, I think this will answer part of it, but then I would like to show you some of the answer as well. So, beginning at verse 8, we're going to read these few verses up to verse 15. Could we stand together out of respect for God's word? That'll also get you guys your blood pumping a little bit here. Amen. Let's hear the word of the Lord. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, we thank you for that amazing miracle of grace, that anyone and everyone who calls upon you shall be saved. Lord, make that a reality for each one of us here and all of those that we reach out to and come in contact with, Lord. Use us as your vessels, as your ministers and ambassadors of reconciliation. We lift this up to you. Speak to us through your word now. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. That's what the word says, doesn't it? Getting a little bit of feedback up here. I'm not sure if it's because this is on or if it's this. Anyway. It might be my raspy voice because one of the things you find out down in Roatan, there's several things I want to tell you about, but one of them is that everybody's loud, very loud, and I had to really, really preach it out, and I don't have much of a voice left, but I'll do my best this morning. So that's the basis of why we go to places like Honduras. That's the basis of why we send missionaries and send them into all kinds of places here in the world. By the way, I wanted to just bring a word of encouragement, a word of thanksgiving. The missionary Donnie Mason, who was with us back in the wintertime. You may remember him. Donnie was the one who was having such a terrible back pain. And there were times he would have to just lay on the floor. It was so painful for him. Donnie had back surgery. And it was successful in relieving that extreme pain. But in the process of going through that, in the preparation of testing, they discovered that Donnie had thyroid cancer. Yeah, just a fluke. And we know the enemy is at work, trying to keep servants like him from going. So he had surgery to remove part of his thyroid. And he was prayed over and anointed, and guess what? He is back in Moscow, Russia, ministering with the team, ministering to the immigrants that are coming into Moscow. And he said, thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving and supporting. He's one example. Now, we don't have a work, a Christian Missionary Alliance work down in Honduras, but we partner with all of those that call upon the name of the Lord, that lift up and hold up Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and that are like-minded and like spirit. And so, many years ago, Jeff Weiss met Marshall Gonzalez. I think it was a chance meeting. It wasn't planned, correct? It came about at the Roatan Church meeting? Sort of. That song was so appropriate. I know that God is always up to something good. Well, Jeff and Marshall met while he was down there for a soccer clinic and reaching out. And through that relationship, several of us went as a team in 2016. And at the beginning of the month, Marshall called me and said, the people of Punta Gorda, they want to honor you. And as you represent the Island Alliance Church family, they want to honor us and thank us for supporting and giving to them. And so he asked, would you come down? And I know short notice, very short notice, but that's the way Marshall rolls. So you have to kind of get used to that with Marshall. By the way, Marshall is still down there and sends his greetings to all of you. And I'll tell you just a little bit about that in a minute. We're going to go ahead and bring up the slideshow at this point. I'm talking about, can we go to the, there it is. So this is Roatan, Honduras. It's a small island off the northern part of the mainland of Honduras. It's bigger than Kent Island, and there are thousands and thousands of people there. One of the things that is interesting is many people speak English. Most of them are from the mainland, Honduras. And many of the islanders do not speak English, and it makes it very difficult. And there are some indigenous people there. They're called the Garifuna, and they are not of Latin American or origins, but rather they are actually from Africa. And there's also another small group there called the Mosquito people, and they speak an entirely different dialect as well, language as well. The Garifuna speak a dialect that's very, very different than Spanish. So it's a very interesting place. So go to the next slide. So this was the weather when I was getting ready to leave on Tuesday. I flew out Wednesday morning, and I was like, man, it's hotter in Maryland than it is down there. And you can see that it was 86 all week long. And so I praise God, because I don't do real well in the hot weather. It was hot enough. But the thing of it is, I guess because it's equatorial, the sun is just very, very intense. So probably 30 minutes in the sun there is about 2 hours of sun for us, the intensity of it. And it just drains your energy. It's very, very difficult. Can you go to the next slide? So Roatan is a place of contrasts. There's a lot of beauty there, but there's also a lot of poverty and a lot of darkness. So go to the next slide, Randy. These are just some pictures from an overlook. You can see there's beautiful overlooks that view the ocean. It's an island, so it is beautiful. Next slide. Just took some pictures. Next one. And the next one. Beautiful hills, mountains, and go back one. As we were on our way to Punta Gorda, which is the little village that the Garifuna people live in, there's a restaurant there. And this restaurant is on an overlook, and it is just so beautiful. And next slide, guess who met me at the airport? It's Oscar Garcia. So those of that were in our team know Oscar. Oscar lives there. And because Marshall could not get there the day that he was planning, he contacted Oscar, and asked Oscar if Oscar would meet me at the airport and be my guide. So Oscar did. And part of the reason Marsh couldn't get there is because originally his wife had knee surgery scheduled for the first part of August. That got postponed. And so she had a knee replacement last Saturday. And he was trying to make sure she was okay before he left. So it made it kind of difficult. She spiked a fever on Tuesday, and it was difficult for him, but he did finally get there on Friday. So Oscar, I took some pictures of Oscar. He was my navigator, and he was my translator for the first day. And then we took some pictures of the overlook. Next. There it is. Isn't that beautiful? Just there's these little lagoons and inlets, but down there they call them bites. They're the bite. And most of them are very, very poor people that live along there. The problem with the economy down in Rotan is there's really not a whole lot of natural resources. It's very difficult farming. They do have some cattle and so on and so forth, but not a whole lot. Very impoverished country. Next. This actually is from when we went last time, but Marshall and I got that picture together. This is Marshall Gonzalez, for those of you who don't know Marshall. And you can see the overlook behind there. Next one. Just a couple more. Go ahead. Beautiful. This is an overlook. Go back one. That's the overlook there from where I stayed. I stayed at the house, actually the condo of Pastor Travis. Pastor Travis is an American who has sold everything and has moved down to Roatan. And he has a house and some condos down at West End. And he rents them out. And he also hosts missionaries and he hosts missions teams that come. And go to the next one. It's just beautiful. He has he's really done a nice job. Next one. Go back one for me. So I stayed with Pastor Travis, very gracious of him. He's a very, very busy man with many projects going on, so he really couldn't spend a whole lot of time with me or Marshall, but we did have coffee together, and he told me his story. And it's an amazing story, but I don't have time this morning to go all through that. Suffice it to say that Pastor Travis is a man who has sold out for Jesus. He has sold everything, moved his family down there. He's the pastor of the Roatan Church. They have three church plants that are going on. They have the trash heap ministry, I think is that what it's called? The garbage dump ministry. There are people that actually live surrounding the garbage dump. And the way that they survive is they go and pick out whatever they can find at the garbage dump. And I believe, Jeff, you guys, the first time, did you go to that? You guys went to that and ministered to those people. That's something that he does, and he does it weekly, and they have a food giveaway, and he ministers to those people. So Travis is a great man of God. It was a pleasure to meet him. Last time I was there, I did not get to meet him. So let's fast forward to Punta Gorda. Punta Gorda is a small village of the Garifuna people, and they have a sign that welcomes you, and what you begin to see is the contrast that's going on there. Go ahead. Marshall is here. This is from his previous trip. The bottom floor of the medical clinic was all open. And the goal was, let's close this in so that patients that can't climb stairs can be treated. And so he brought a team in over the past several months, and they enclosed the bottom part. Next one. There's a lot of construction that is going on. In fact, I was amazed. There's so much construction. And the road out to Punta Gorda was actually finished with concrete. And so it was a whole lot easier driving. We weren't breaking axles on the car. But it's funny because there's two mayors on the island. Well, wherever that municipality ended for the first mayor, well, the concrete ended too. And from there on, it was just, a little bit of pavement plus big potholes everywhere. Next one. When you get into Punta Gorda, you can see they have some beautiful views. Next one. That's coming up towards the medical clinic. Next one. Beautiful, beautiful views. A lot of natural beauty. Next one. But what you begin to see is people live basically in shacks. Many of them live in shacks. This is not the best picture, but part of it there, I think, is wood. Part of it is mud. Part of it's not finished. It's really in bad shape. Next one. Now, Jeff, you can't say anything, and Colby, you are on the team. You can't say anything. But this little thing right here, the square, who can guess what that is? Say it again. Not quite a bathroom. It's part of it, but something in the bathroom. No, not a water tank, but close. It's a shower. It's a shower. And as I came by, I stopped. Now, I didn't take the young man who was in the shower. I didn't take a picture of him. I thought that would be inappropriate, right? He's actually, his head is behind that bush right there. But basically, it's a piece of canvas that's wrapped around some sticks. And you take a bucket of water and you dump it on yourself. So that's how they shower. Some of them, not all of them. Some there that have some beautiful homes as well. It's a land of contrast. Next one. That's that same shack. There's a fellow standing there. And interestingly, all the young people in Roatan, they have two things. They have a really nice cell phone, or two or three cell phones, and really nice sneakers. That's just the way it is. But their house might be a shack. That's the backside. And I thought this was a good idea for all of our builders, renovators here, that we can make porches out of tires, your spare tires. All you got to do is fill them with some dirt or some rocks, and there you go. Instant deck, instant porch, instant patio. So, you know, you see this. You see this. Let's go ahead to the next one. You get into the heart of Punta Gorda, and the Garifuna people are very proud of their heritage, and they celebrate it, and of course it is part of the tourist attraction, and that's how they make money to live. Next one. You'll see some huts like this that they make to kind of give an authentic flavor. Next one. And they have colorful signs. This is the little food store, little restaurant from Audrey. Audrey is a lady who grew up in that area, Punta Gorda, but moved to New York, but then years later has moved back, and now she runs a little restaurant. Her husband takes people out on fishing trips, diving trips, and so on and so forth. And she runs this little restaurant, and we've used that as sort of our base of operations from time to time. Next one. Then you go along the road, you begin to see some very poor shacks. Next one. Basically, it's sticks and the grass roof. Next one. This is the steps down into Audrey's little meeting area. Next one. I'm sorry, go back one. So Audrey has a meeting room, and it's nothing fancy. It's very basic, you know, bare wood. No windows, just open, and we've used that for different events. Last time we were there, we had the children's ministry there in that. So God did a pretty awesome thing. When Marshall arrived on Friday, we came, and Marshall was greeting different people, and we came to Audrey's, and there was a meeting going on back there. And we walked in, and Audrey introduced us, and basically it was the town councilman who were meeting with the police, and they were having a training session. And, of course, they stopped and came and greeted us, and we had a chance to talk. And Marshall had the opportunity to speak to the president of the town council and share with him why we were there, and that that evening, we were going to be having a celebration and a dedication of the clinic, and invited him to come. And he said, yes, we will come. We will all come. And several of them did show up that evening. Next one. So Audrey owns a little house next door But she doesn't own the top part. She owns the bottom part, and it's just made out of cinder blocks. You can't really see it very well. But her parents, who also lived in New York, have moved back to Punta Gorda, and they have built their dream retirement house on top of those blocks. And that's just the way it is in Roatan. I thought, man, I wonder if they had an inspection to see if that house is going to be held up. Next picture. But they are building a beautiful house. They're putting in the latest windows and so on and so forth. And that's where they're going to live for the rest of their days. Next one. All right. So this is the finished first floor of the medical clinic that his team, the team that came down a few months ago, were able to enclose it. And they did it with donations. And here's the thing. The materials, everything is brought in to the island. They don't have any natural materials and resources there. Everything has to be brought in from the mainland. So it's very, very expensive. This is a wood lap. And, you know, one board is probably equivalent to, you know, $15, $18 in American money. Very expensive. The 16-foot boards, very expensive. And so you have to be very careful how much you spend. So this is the clinic. The next one. That's the backside of it. Or I'm sorry, the right corner of it. Next one. And there's another picture of Oscar. I had a nickname for him. It's Oscar Amente. And he enjoyed that. He was fantastic. Oscar shared, as we were driving, visiting together, he shared that that he had fallen away from the Lord and fallen away from church for a season. Oscar found out when he was a young person that his father was not his real father, that his birth father was not in the picture. And his stepfather, I guess you would call him, was a very violent, abusive man, and actually went to jail. And about 2 years ago, his stepfather got out of jail, and Oscar had moved out into his own place. And Oscar found out that he was abusing his mom and his little sisters again. And so Oscar moved back home to try to deal with that situation. And he got very angry, very hurt, very upset. And so he stopped going to church. And the enemy, you know, worked on him to try and isolate him and try to get him away. But he told me that the Lord was speaking to him and that he went back to church. And he wanted to get back to following the Lord. And so I rejoiced with him, prayed with him, encouraged him. And pray for Oscar. He's got a tough job. He's got a tough situation there. Next one. Again, that's a shot from the left of the clinic. What do you notice about the electrical box? Yeah, there's no meter. And when I got there, the thing was wide open. It was just there's a cover lid on it, but it had fallen. And it was just wide open, and there's 220 volt current running through these wires, and it's hot wired, basically. It's basically hot wired. So I didn't even ask the question, okay, of where's the meter. I'm not going to ask the question because I noticed most of the buildings were like that. So I don't know if they just don't use meters. I'm not sure. Didn't ask. You know, don't ask, don't tell. Anyway, next one. That's a shot from the front. Okay, you can see the second floor was finished and is operating as the medical clinic. But the problem is you have to go up some pretty steep steps to get there. A lot of clients, you know, patients can't get up there. Next one. Somebody donated that door. It's solid maple. That door cost a lot of money because, again, it had to be brought in from the mainland. Beautiful door. And so part of the issue with the community is we want to have windows in the front, but we want them to look nice and, you know, to match the rest of the building and so on and so forth. But here's the problem. Nobody has any money. And so Marshall asked me, he said, you know, Pastor Tom, I know you're there alone. He said, but I understand you've been in construction in the past. He said, would you oversee, you know, the cutting out of the windows and the installation of the windows? Sure. That sounds pretty simple. So, next one. That's just a couple more shots from the front. Okay, next one. We began to work the next day, and we had some help. Here's my helper. He liked my hat, and he wore it the whole time that he was there helping us. Next one. This is actually the finished product, and I messed up. It should have been all the way at the end. I have it at the end again. But this is Jair, and Jair is a carpenter there. He's Garifuna. And he is, what you begin to find out is a lot of people are related to each other. So Jair is Audrey's uncle. And for those of you who went on the trip last time, you remember Jimmy Seferino. Well, Jimmy and Jair are brothers. Jimmy was a young man who helped us with the soccer clinic last time we were there. And we don't know what's happened, but Jimmy was nowhere to be found. We kept putting the word out, you know, hey, tell Jimmy to come by. We want to greet him. We want to bless him. You know, tell him to come on out. And he never showed. He never showed. We would go to his house and he wasn't there, and so on and so forth. Next one. Here's a picture of me and Jair. Jair is a guy who loves the Lord, but he is stuck in the cycle of poverty. He's trying desperately to support his family, trying desperately to raise his family, but it's very difficult. He has two younger children, and basically he works by picking up whatever carpentry work he can do. He's an excellent carpenter, and as we began to talk about, you know, what we're going to do here, it was very obvious he knew what he was doing. So I was able to just, you know, kind of oversee and step back. Next one. Go back to it. So here's the problem. When you're going to cut out windows in a building, what do you want to know about the hole? How big you should make it. That's right. So this is the way it works in Roatan. Okay, so the word was that there was another fella, his name's Cosme, and I'll introduce him in a little bit, but Cosme was going to bring windows. I said, great. I said, well, what size are they? I don't know. Okay, well, what time is Cosme going to be here with the windows? I don't know. He's supposed to be here this morning. Where is he? I don't know. Calling Cosme. Marshall, who's still back in the States now, he sends me his number. I'm calling him. No answer. Finally get through, and he says, no, this is not Cosme's number. Sorry, wrong number. Click. Okay, no Cosme. And so we've hired him for the day, and we're going to pay him one way or another, whether he works or not. So he's waiting, and we're like, what do we do? So I call Marshall again. I said, you know what? Time's ticking. And we're paying him. Let's go ahead and just, you know, use some standard sizes. And Marshall's like, yeah, let's do that. That's the way it works in Roatan. So we cut out two windows, 48 by 48, and then the third one, 36 by 36, because we're a little bit tighter space. Those are pretty standard sizes, Jair said. Great. So guess what? Cosme finally shows up about 1:30. And guess what he has? Nothing. No windows. He asked me, where are the windows? This is the way it is in Roatan. And him and Marshall were back and forth on the phone. And, you know, he's like, well, I can get some windows, you know. But here's the problem. All the windows are brought in from the mainland. And they're very, very expensive. He was trying to work a deal to get them at cost. And even at cost, they were probably, in American dollars, probably about $150 a piece. Now, understand, we're paying Cosme for the whole day of working about $20. That's good money for them. Their money system, Limpierre's, right now, it's 24 and three quarter limpieres per dollar. And so $20 for the day is pretty good work. So that's how things were rolling as the day went on. But it's like, okay, you go ahead and cut the window holes out. I'm going over to the school, and I'll be back. So later on when I get back, he's got it done. And it looks pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, you know, it's a little rough, but it looks pretty good. So I left him there to work, and I went over to the school. And go to the next slide. I went to the school that Marshall and his wife Stephanie had established. And it is a public school. I had thought it was a private Christian school, but they said, no, this is a public school. Go back one first. And I was absolutely amazed. They let me come in, and I could pretty much say whatever I wanted to say. Miss Joyce is the headmaster there, and she allowed me. She, you know, walked me through the different classes. And do you see what I have under my arm? I brought some books. They're actually from Operation Good News, Samaritan's Purse, and they are discipleship books in Spanish. I was able to purchase them, and they got here in time. I think they showed up Tuesday at my house, and I left Wednesday, so praise God for that. But I was able to share with the class that which is muy importante, most important. This is great that you're learning, but most important is to know Jesus, Jesus, and to know his love in your life. And I was able to share with the class. We interacted. And then I gave each one of the students that read one of the discipleship books. Next one. I went to the fifth grade class, went to the fourth grade class. Next one. I went to second grade class, same thing. And then guess who was in the second grade class, right all the way back there in the corner to the right. Next picture. That is Yesenia. That is Yesenia. For those of you who remember Yesenia, we raised funds so that she could have a surgery back in the fall, or some, maybe the winter. Is Shannon here this morning? Shannon is the one who headed up that fundraiser for Yesenia. And unfortunately, her foot is still not correct. She cannot walk on that foot yet, even with all the physical therapy that she had or maybe didn't have. Perhaps it was skipped. We're not quite sure. But the next picture, this is her teacher, and she loves Yesenia, and we continue to pray for Yesenia and ask God to heal her, to allow her to be able to walk on that foot. She also has spinal bifida, I think, on her back. It's a big growth on her back that eventually they're hoping they can remove that. Next picture. This is her with her teacher, one of the teachers, and then the headmaster, Joyce, and then one of the students that pushes around on the wheelchair. Next one. So guess what? The next morning, when I'm on the way there, you see what's happening here. The policia. And they're stopping everybody. And they want to see your papers. They don't play. They don't play. They're armed. There's several of them. You can't quite see it all. They're armed. They're walking around with these rifles. And they stop everybody. And you better have your papers or you're going to jail. We don't know how good we have it in this country. And yes, sometimes there's a police stop occasionally, but this is something that happens regularly. And I just happened to be on that road when it... Now, we pulled up. And Marshall had told me, you know, when you ever pull up, make sure your windows are down. And so I pulled up, and the officer starts speaking to me in Spanish. Go to the next one. One more. Oh, go back. Okay. So I'm behind this truck, and I had pulled over to take some pictures, and I go. And I get my windows down, I pull up, and he starts speaking to me in Spanish. My Spanish is very minimal. Un poquito. And... he starts speaking to me in Spanish. I'm like, ¿Inglés? ¿Inglés? And he's like, I said, oh, yo soy gringo loco. I had my passport and I had my, you know, everything there. And he's like, oh, go. It's like, whew, thank you, Lord. I was able to get to the destination. So I was on my way to pick up Marshall at the airport on Friday morning. And after ministering with the children, it was sweltering that afternoon. It was so hot. And man, I was just pouring sweat down and just, I was done for the day. So by the time I got back to the condo, it was about 6 p.m. and just crashed and got ready for the next day. Picked up Marshall at the airport, next one, and brought him to Punta Gorda. By the way, it's about an hour drive to get there, and introduced him to Jair. He knew him only by the phone, and he went ahead and checked it out, and he said, man, this looks great. Next one. On the way there, we had to pick up materials, and man, they had some good Java. It's amazing that in every store, every business, there is a big pot of Java, and I was able to bring some Honduran coffee home as a gift from Travis, and man, that's some good stuff. Don't ask me to share it, because I won't. Okay? Just kidding. Next one. Oh, that's another police stop picture. We can skip past those. Go to the next one. Okay. So, that evening, we went and visited the people during the day and kind of got a lay of the land. And then we had to go back. Marshall was exhausted. He hadn't slept all night. He needed to shower. We needed to change to get ready for the night. So, I just wanted to show you a couple shots on the way. This is Los Fuentes. Remember that, Jeff? And what's amazing, it's like this market. And let me back up just a second. We were praying as we were driving back and getting ready. Lord, give us the strength that we need. We pray for tonight. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come. We're asking the Holy Spirit to prepare the way, to prepare the hearts of the children. And we came up with a plan. So we went back to the condo and basically had about an hour and we had to turn around and go back to Punta Gorda. Well, as I told you before, the enemy was at work. I believe he did not want us to be back there, because we were going to be preaching the gospel. And we had been telling the children, come back, 6 o'clock, come back to the clinic, bring your family. We're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have a giveaway. And we have a special gift for you if you come. You have to come to get the gift. So this is as we're on our way back to Punta Gorda. We're taking some pictures of the market. Next one. Can't quite see that. I'm not a very good photographer. Next one. They have lots and lots of motorcycles there. Lots and lots of motorcycles and bike, you know, scooters and so on and so forth. Next one. You can see the little bazaar-like stores along the way. Next one. So we get to the top of the hill and the traffic comes to a dead stop. Now, mind you, we're on a tight schedule. You know, it takes an hour to get there. We're on a tight schedule. So this traffic comes to a dead stop and nothing's happening. And we're sitting there and we're sitting there and we're sitting there. You can see, next picture, there's a truck ahead of the motorcycles that's filled with people. And he kept stopping and letting more people get on and stopping. And, you know, and there's other traffic coming. And the clock is ticking. And they start calling Marshall. Everybody's gathered. Where are you? We're like, we're trying. We're trying to get there. Next one. Okay. We finally get there. It's about 10 after 6. We got held up, you know. That's pretty good for Honduras. 10 after 6. Hey, that's respectable. And we get there, and we are praising God because there's probably about 100 people, you know, about 50 or 60 children, plus 30 or 40 adults that are gathered there. And we are amazed. But we knew the enemy was trying to keep us from getting there. We knew it. But we were determined to do so, to get there and to preach the gospel. The way that we asked them to come and attracted them to come is we had a food giveaway. We prepared 5 boxes of food staples and we had a raffle. We were not going to be able to feed all of them. we're not going to be able to give something away to everyone. And so we had a raffle, and we said everybody can participate, no charge. And we had five big boxes of food staples, and they thought it was fantastic. We let them organize it, organize the raffle, pick, and go ahead to the next one. As I said, there's about 50 or 60 children, which I was overwhelmed and couldn't hardly believe it. Next one. So we gave the raffle to them, let them do it. Next one. And the ladies that got the raffle, there weren't a whole lot of men there, and they kind of stood back. Mr. Alfred was there giving us his greetings, and we met a couple of the other community leaders. So while this is going on, and I'm trying my best with my broken Spanish and you know, just very, very difficult situation. And I was like, Marshall, what are you doing? What's going on? I need you over here. Translate for me. So we had another lady. Go back one slide for me. I'm trying to see if that's not her. She translated for me because Marshall was held up. I didn't know what was going on, but I told you the enemy was at work. There were several people that were basically trying to obstruct what we were doing. They were arguing with Marshall. They were upset with us. They're like, oh, what is this gringo doing here? You know, why are you bringing this? Why are you doing this? And it was just amazing. Pascal, who owns a rental car place, we rent from him, he showed up because he's Garufuna as well. And he comes walking over to them. Marshall's telling me this. He's like, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you doing this? This is for your community. This is to help you. Why are you having this attitude? Who's the enemy? He's trying to stir things up and get something going. And he was a little bit successful because there was people that were kind of gathering around there. So thankfully, the Lord just kind of allowed it to melt away as Pasquale talked to them. So we did the food giveaway. Next one. I preached. Next one. Oh, go back. I'm sorry. Go back three. One more. I preached the gospel. The children were very attentive. They were waiting. I think they were waiting more for the food and the drinks and the little special gift. But I preached the gospel. And watch this. After I preached the gospel, and I gave an invitation for them to pray. And the lady is translating for me. And I said, if you want to ask Jesus into your life, I want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray together. I would say probably 3/4 of the people and the children raise their hands. Now, you know, as a pastor, I'm not foolish enough to think, well, every one of them is saved. And that was really on my heart. It was really concerning me. I'm going to tell you what God did. The next morning, I was using my phone for my Bible and my devotions. And the scripture came up and it said from John chapter 16, it says, Jesus said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict you of truth, righteousness, and sin. And the devotion that morning said, the Holy Spirit comes and he draws and he ministers to people. And as he touches their heart, they put their faith in Christ. They call upon the Lord and they are saved. I like, wow, Lord, it's not up to me. Not up to me at all. Everything that we did there, the preaching of the gospel, is just what God calls us to do. And he does the work. Only he can touch the hearts of people. And so that's the theme of our ministry there. Call upon the Lord and he will answer you. And those who call upon the Lord will be saved. Next slide. Next one. That's the finished product. Basically, since there wasn't any more money for the windows, Marshall talked to Jair, and Jair said, well, I can build windows. And basically, you put them on hinges and little locks, and then during the day, you just swing them open, and the air comes in. And then at night, you secure it with the lock, And so there is the finished product. It doesn't look too awful bad, does it? Not for temporary. Now, as more donations come in, we told the council that we would be glad to put windows in. We're like, how much would you like to donate to it? Now, you got to understand, the folks there have very, very little money. Marshall met with them yesterday, had a town council meeting, because there's some opposition, and he felt like God really, really moved. Next picture. Is that it? Okay, last one. I thought there was one that had the windows open, but I must have missed it. God did a great work. God did a great work in me. Broke my heart for the people there. And most there, the pictures are open. The windows are open there. And we gave special thanks to Jair that evening, because he did a lot of work, and he worked really, really hard. Special recognition, was what I was trying to say. God really worked in my heart, and I hope, seeing this, that he works in your heart for the people all around you. The scripture says, all of those who call upon the Lord shall be saved. And that doesn't mean it's just for Honduras, for these folks that have very little. It's for everyone around us. Amen? Every one of us. It's for you. It's for me. The scripture says that Jesus is Lord. It says that he died for our sins and rose from the dead to prove that he is Lord. And if you call upon his name and invite him into your heart, it says you shall be saved. You shall be saved. How about you? Have you called upon the Lord? And are you continuing to call upon the Lord every day? Are you continuing to walk in his Spirit? Because he gives us the gift of his Spirit to walk in it. So I encourage you this morning. You see, life gets so busy. I got to be honest with you. In my heart, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go back down there again. First of all, it's going to cost a lot of money. And it did. It cost a lot of money. And everybody, by the way, everybody who does anything for you wants money. I cut it short a little bit because there's lots of stories I could have told you. But everybody expects payment. And, hey, you understand, this is how they live. This is their livelihood. Anything that they can do, they would like to be paid for it. I understand that. And so in our flesh and our humanness, be like, well, you know, it's comfortable here, and I don't know if I want to go, and yeah, it's a lot of work. It's hot. It's difficult. And Marshall's been doing this for years and years and years, and he said to me, some friends of theirs just recently asked him, Marshall, why are you doing this? What's this all about? So that these people can call upon the Lord. They can know that God loves them, that they are not thrown away, they are not abandoned, that they are valuable to God. He loves them, and Jesus died for them. So where are you at today? You called upon the Lord, and are you continuing to call upon the Lord? Let's pray. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just be ministering to each one of us right now, Lord. I have to believe that in a group this size, there are some who have not yet called upon your name. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit who draws our hearts, that he will be working, drawing the hearts of those that need to call upon you. And then, Lord, that you will encourage each one of us to call upon you every day, Lord, to walk in your Spirit, to walk in relationship with you, to hear your voice, and to follow, obey what you want us to do. Live through us each day, Lord. Lead us to people that you want us to speak and share with, Lord. Courage, lift up. Set up those divine appointments in our lives, Lord. Right now, if there's anyone here that you know you need to call upon the Lord, I want to give you an invitation to do that. Just like I asked those children, do you want to call upon the Lord? Do you want to ask Jesus into your life to be your Lord and your Savior? I ask you, is there anyone here you want to ask Jesus into your life? If that's you, I want to invite you to do a bold thing. Raise your hand. to the Lord. He's looking. No one else is looking or watching. But if you need to call upon the Lord, I invite you right now. Raise your hand. Say, Lord, I need to call upon your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I see those hands. Amen. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to invite us all to pray this prayer. And if you will pray it out of your heart, God will begin a work in you. So let's all pray this prayer. I'll share it and you repeat it. And God will hear you, call upon Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. And thank you for hearing us, Lord. Our hearts are towards you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who draws us and opens our spiritual mind. Right now, Jesus, I call upon you and invite you into my life. Come in and stay by the Holy Spirit and fill me, cleanse me, forgive my sins, and make me new. I want to follow you all my days as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. 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 If you prayed that out of your heart in sincerity, God is going to begin a miracle in your life. The Holy Spirit does it. It's not human. We can't make it happen, but God can by His Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to receive the benediction today. If we had another 15 or 20 minutes, we could bring the band back up and celebrate. That's what we did there. They stayed until, it was 10 o'clock that night. They want to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, I bless your people. Thank you for their attention to your word. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you are always on the move. You are always doing something new. You are always working. We give you praise and glory and honor. Bless your people. Lord, bless us to walk close with you every day this week and the weeks to follow. We pray over your people a blessing, and we ask it in Jesus' precious holy name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen. First time, folks, love to meet you in the lobby. God bless you.